All right, let me gather us together now around the reading of God's Word. And today it is in Psalm 11. Psalm 11, we'll go read all seven verses. In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, flee like a bird to your mountain? For behold, the wicked bend the bow. They have fitted their arrow to the string to shoot at the dark at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes see, his eyelids test the children of man. The Lord tests the righteous, but his soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. Let him rain coals on the wicked, fire and sulfur and a scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous, he loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. Your thought for today is this: God sees and knows his own, even amidst the chaos sin and confusion bring to our worlds. God sees and knows his own, even amidst the chaos sin and confusion bring to our worlds. There are many things that can shake our foundations. I imagine many of you have had your foundations shaken from time to time. Maybe your foundations are shaking right now. And so those kinds of things can be disease or job loss. It could be unfounded accusations. It could be a broken trust of a friend. All of these things shake our world in some special way. And when our world is shaken, it robs us of that peaceful mind. And a mind under stress doesn't necessarily handle the stuff of life very well. And so it might take us away from our job efficiency. It might take us away from our family time. It may take us away from other relationships. If you're having trouble in one relationship, it could affect another relationship that you have. So all of those kinds of things are possible whenever our foundations are shaken. Everyday things can just be thrown into turmoil because of all of these kinds of things that can come into our life. Now the foundations here, that word in the original language means the political and moral support that we have as a society. Now that, let me give you some examples of that. Everybody remembers COVID. When COVID came out, people were thinking if you caught it, you were going to die, or at least go to the hospital. You know, there was no middle ground. If you caught it, you know, you were going to go into a bad place. And so there was lockdowns where churches were locked down and weren't being able to meet together. There was all of these things that were canceled and all of these things, restrictions that you had to go through. And so that is an example of some of the political turmoil that can shake a foundation. Those things that you were used to now have been taken away from you or suspended or made more difficult. And so that's an example here. Political and tech fear-mongering can bring anxious thoughts. The author of a commentary that I use reminded me, because he remembered it. If you remember back in 1990s, 1999, as that year progressed, the world was going to be thrown into chaos. Everybody was running around talking about all of the things. There's going to be famines. The banks are going to close. You know, the rocket defense system could be set off accidentally because the computers don't know what year it is. And so I was actually working in a hardware store when that happened. And this lady came in, I think she lived in Columbia, I believe it was. And she was convinced that the power grid was going to shut down at midnight on December the 31st, 1999. That was just going to happen. And she was going to be prepared for it. So she was looking for a pitcher pump, which we happened to have in the back. It was a little dusty, but we had one in the back. And she was the happiest thing in the world when she walked out of that store with a pitcher pump, because she was going to have water when her neighbors didn't, because all of this chaos was going to happen. And so that kind of thought gets in there. Unknowns, that shakes and rocks the foundation of your world. More recently, we have experts predicting what can happen with artificial intelligence. I read in the news recently, Tom Hanks was talking about how his likeness. Now this thing is getting more and more sophisticated, folks. You can see in the movies, you can still tell in the movies where something's not natural. But it's getting better and better all the time. Tom Hanks said that someone, without his permission, used artificial intelligence to generate his image and his voice to do a commercial for a dentist office. So that's where it's going, and that's why a lot of people are concerned about it. Can you imagine a leader of the world getting up on media and it's being artificially produced and there's somebody behind that going, say this and say that, but it sounds and looks like that individual? And so that kind of thing is spreading around. It can cause fear. It can cause an uprooting of that political and moral support that we have of a society. Fear from events happening in other countries. Somebody sent out a text message. I was included in it. It was a group text the other day. And it had this lady coming to the window and it said, you know, because of the war that has broken out now in the Middle East, it said, what chapter of Revelation are we on today? And this lady was peeking out of the window. And so all of these kinds of things can begin to happen around the world that can begin to shake all of that structure that we depend upon each day, that allows us to function, that makes us feel secure. And even supposedly godly men and women add to that fear, because there are a lot of folks out there now, folks, who believe that they have gained exceptional knowledge into the future, and they've figured out the Bible, and they can lay out the whole end of the world complex. And anytime something like this happens, they're, see, I tell you, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. I read a book one time and he had it so figured out that this country was going to come from this way, and this country was coming from that way, and that country was coming from that way, and that's how the world was going to end. And all of that can lead to fear, and it can lead to the foundations of even the church being shaken because of that. This is what I like to tell you folks. If you want to get into eschatology, and that's what that's called, that is great. I think that's a great study about the end times. But use it as a study and to draw closer to the Lord, because John had that vision to give assurance to the church, not fear. And always understand this. The day that you die, Jesus has come. Okay? If you're thinking about what might happen 20 years from now, or 50 years from now, or whatever time, the day that you pass away, as far as you're concerned, Jesus has come. And so that's why Jesus took time to express to his disciples and to all who read the Gospels, today is the day. Today is the day. Be concerned about today. Don't worry about the problems of tomorrow. Today has enough problems for you to be concerned about. Keep your focus on today. Now, David here could have been thinking, when he wrote this, David could have been thinking about his enemies that were trying to take his kingdom away, and worried about what his enemies would do if they came into power. In other words, he was taken off of the throne, so to speak. We have a very real enemy in our world today that will shake and has shaken and is shaking our foundations as the people of God. As we see evil and corrupt thought and ideologies that get infiltrated into our culture and even into the laws that guard our culture, and they go against biblical truth. And so we wonder, where is this going to stop? Again, how is it going to affect our children? How is it going to affect me? How are we going to live in a world and worship in a world where even our bodies here, the body of Christ, could be put into a very uncomfortable place by the laws that are being passed in our nation and the way of thought that is creeping into our culture? So that is a very real fear here, that comes into the thinking of what this psalmist was worried about here, David, about how the foundations of our world can be shaken. And so in that thinking, in that shaking of our foundations, when what makes our life work is threatened, what are we tempted to do? That's what he talks about here. How can you say to my soul, flee like a bird to your mountain? In other words, fly away, little bird, or fly to that mountain, go to your refuge, because bad things are getting ready to happen. Enthroned here, when he talks about God being in his holy temple, and the Lord's throne is in heaven, the enthronement of God depicts an image of God in control. This psalmist's heart is fully in line with the thought that God is still in control. No matter what the chaos around us depicts, no matter how out of control the world seems to be, no matter how badly shaken are our foundations, the psalmist is reassured by the fact that God is still on his throne. There is no coup powerful enough in this world to upset the rule and authority of the Lord. And no matter how bad things look around you, God is still in control. And so David, when he's writing this, he's being reassured and comforted by the fact that God sees all, that nothing is hidden from him. He sees all our fears. He sees all of these things that shake our foundations. And he wants us to trust that he is still in control. As I said, even when everything seems to be out of control. A test for our trust comes when our foundations are threatened. When those things that make our worlds better are taken away from us, or are threatened to be taken away from us. The test for our trust in the Lord is, where do we go when that situation happens in our lives? Who is it that we turn to, or what is it that we turn to? There's an example for this in Isaiah 30. In Isaiah 30, Israel was under attack from its enemies. And instead of turning to the Lord, Israel went down to Egypt and sought to form an alliance with Egypt, because Egypt was still a very powerful nation at that time, and it had a very powerful army. And so Israel went down to Egypt, and they wanted to form an alliance for Egypt to help them fight against this enemy. And God was saying, folks, can't you see the irony in this? When Isaiah is prophesying to this, you've turned to Egypt. I brought you out of Egypt, and now you want to go back to that very same thing that I have delivered you from. Christian, the Lord has delivered you from dependence upon anything that this world has to offer, as far as being your source of comfort, your source of security. He has delivered you from those things that we are drawn to. Things like anger, things like revenge thoughts, things like jealousy, things like fear, all of those kinds of things. The reason that we're drawn to those kinds of things is because they serve a purpose within us. Why are some people drawn to a snack bag when they're under stress? Because it gives them in that moment a source of comfort. Why are some people drawn to things stronger than a snack bag? Because it gives them in that moment some kind of comfort. Even though that, and on the other side of that experience with that substance, whatever it is, that problem is still going to be there. They find for themselves a place, a brief vacation, if you will, from whatever it is that's on their minds. And so they go right back to that thing that God is promising to deliver them from if we just come to him in trust and faith, just like Israel did. They wanted to go right back to Egypt. They wanted to go right back and form an alliance with a power that God had delivered them out of so many years before. And the testimony to us in that historical depiction that happened in Israel's time, biblical Israel's time, how does that apply to us in those same ways that I just shared with you? the promise of deliverance from those things that want to take us away from God. John Oswald wrote that when we once set out to make ourselves secure in ourselves, sin against God and others comes naturally, for we have made ourselves gods, and our ends then justify any means. In other words, we can explain away any source of emotion, of substance, as long as we have the end that we want in that moment, we can justify the means. That's what he's saying, because we've made ourselves God. And so we can do anything that we want in that moment if it satisfies us. We can blow up in anger. We can hold vengeful thoughts. We can turn to hate. We can let those things comfort us, or we can turn to God. In that emotional strife, we turn right back to those things. We can have the emotion of anger, folks. Anger is an emotion. Things in this world can make you angry. That is okay. But when we hold on to anger and it becomes hate, then that is not okay. Because then we are relying on that anger. We are relying on that hate to get us through, to give us the energy that we need, to keep life going. And that is God's place in the life of the believer. Those type of emotions, that type of reliance on a substance or anything other than the Lord is not to have a place in the life of the believer. When we rely on that for our source of strength, for our source of energy, to secure our foundations again. And why is that? Because when we choose our own means instead of God's word to fight our battles, those very same things in which we put our faith, those things in which we put our trust, those things have now become gods to us, and they will become stronger in us. Whatever we rely on, whatever we keep going back to the most, will get stronger and stronger. Remember that. Whatever we go back to the most, whatever we rely on the most, will become stronger and stronger in our lives. The pull for that thing will become stronger and stronger in our lives. And the first sign of stress, unconsciously, you will go to the snack bag. At the first sign of stress, unconsciously, you will want to go to whatever that substance is. At the first sign of stress, you'll unconsciously want to go to whatever it is that can pacify you in that moment, because we keep going back and back and back to it. And it serves that purpose. Remember this phrase: sin gets further entrenched in us when it is used like salve on a wound. Sin gets further and further entrenched in us when it is used like salve on a wound. If it is used to make our hurt go away, it will become stronger and stronger, because that is a natural urge. We don't want to hurt. Hurting is not fun. We don't want to hurt. And whatever will make it go away, we go back to it. And so what is the refuge of the righteous? It is in our enthroned King. What he's saying here is that God sees. He sees what's going on in the world. But in his judgment, his righteous judgment there, as he says, that his soul hates the wicked, and the one who loves violence, let him rain coals. God will bring judgment upon all of those things that are shaking our foundations. All of those things that are coming in as evil, that are wanting to upset your world. God sees those things, this psalmist says. But he also tests us in it. Now the testing here is like you would refine gold, or gold ore, I should say. We've all heard that illustration in church, where you dig ore out of the ground and it's got gold in it, but other things are attached to it, and so you put the heat to it, and by enough heat, the gold is separated from the dross. And the good stuff is kept, and the dross is thrown away. And so this is that word testing here. When David says that the Lord tests the righteous as well, we are tested by what we just talked about. Where do we turn when our foundations are shaken, when we are fearful that the things that enable us to navigate and to operate in this world are threatened to be taken away, when we're fearful for our own existence, for our own safety, for our own peace and comfort in this world, where do we go? Where is our trust? To whom do we turn? That is the test of the righteous. Do we train ourselves through faith and practice to turn to the Lord, to have that peace and comfort that David is reminding us on? That, Father, no matter how bad things may look in this world, that we know that you're on your throne. And we know that you have the power and the sovereign control of this earth, that nothing is able to unseat you from that throne. That you are there and that you haven't changed. That your love for your children is eternal. That your love for your children sustains us. And your love for your children and the grace that is poured out upon us gives us the strength that we need each day to face whatever that challenge is for that day. Do we turn in seeking our comfort to that thought? Do we prove ourselves? Do we test ourselves in the way that the bad things that want to cling to us, those bad thoughts, those upsetting thoughts, that substance, that potato chip bag, whatever it is that we turn to, instead of coming to the Lord for our peace, security, comfort? Do we remind ourselves in faith that the Lord is there, that it is His security and comfort are the only things that are lasting? Do we trust Him enough with our foundations that we can rest in that thought? That takes practice, folks. We go to those things because they have been practiced. And so, like we said, they have become strong within us. And so to make our faith in God strong, we have to practice going to Him. We have to have that faith exerted that He is on His throne, that He is the God of all comfort, as our reading talked about today. That He is our source of strength. He is our security. He is our blanket, to use the children's illustration there. That gives us that peace and security and comfort, that warmth that we need. And all of us need it from time to time. None of us are immune. Preachers as well as the pews. All of us need that from time to time. How many times have I wanted to curl up with a blanket in the fetal position and just hope that the world will go away? So that comes to all of us. But where is our security? Where do we go for comfort? Where do we go for strength? Where do we go for our peace? That's the point of this psalm here, is to begin to ask yourself, where do I go when the foundations that give me my source of strength and anchor me in this life, where do I go when those things are being taken away, when they're slipping through my fingers? Where do I go? To whom do I turn? God sees and knows His own, even amidst the chaos that sin and confusion bring to our worlds. Your thought for today, rest in it. Father, we come before You this day. We come before You asking that You will help us to admit our helplessness and to experience Your care. That we are not to insist upon our ability to cope, and in doing that, deprive ourselves of that comfort, Father, that You want to share with us. And as we rest on that thought from another, we pray that You will fill us with Your Spirit of peace, Your Spirit of strength, that You might be the one and only that we turn to when our foundations are shaken. And so, Father, we pray for that peace and strength and direction of thought that is ours in Christ. And we pray this in His name. Amen.